Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, two man ride. Jess Romero and my wife, Anita.
Sarah and Tobias.
That's right, every Friday. Talking about spiritual warfare issues from a Catholic perspective. And I'll be honest with you, we see ourselves more as an educational Catholic spiritual warfare. And that's what lay people are called to do, is to educate each other. And so that's the Friday show. It's educational spiritual warfare. Anita, what is today's feast day?
Well, today's feast day is the devotion, well, actually the Garden Angel, Feast of the Garden Angels. And then also, on top of that, we have the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Mary. Remember that?
Our Jesus.
Sacred Heart of Jesus. St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, Jesus appeared to her and gave her 12 promises. And today is the 10th promise, 10th month, 10th promise. And that 10th promise, and you know, I think we as Catholics, lady, we have to remember to honor these devotions, because, you know, we're not hearing it in the pulpit. You go to Mass and you're not hearing. Today's the 10th devotion of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. That we should be hearing that to remind us. So I think Bishop Sheen has was right on point when he said, laity, teach your bishops to be bishops, teach your priests to be priests. And I think this is one of the moments in our time where we need to remind our priests that about their devotions, because many of them, many of these priests, their formation lacked, I'm sure, the devotions that our church, the beauty of our church has given to us.
And so that's why lay Catholics, we have to do this for each other. In fact, our late sister Lucia, 1957, wrote in an interview with Father Fuentes, he said, we've entered into a time, guess what? Lay people, start evangelizing yourself. Lay people, become holy. Lay people, evangelize those around you. She said this in 1957, already seeing the modernist infiltration. Let's pray in our Garden Angel prayer.
Yep.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We'll pray it in Latin and in English. Angela Dei, qui custos et mei, me tibi commissum, pietate superna, hodie illumina custodi, rege et guberna. Amen. Amen. Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom the love of God commits me here, be ever this day at my side, to light, to guard, to rule, and to guide. We'll pray St. Michael also for protection for this, everybody listening, this entire show. Santi Michael Arcangele, defendenos in prelio, contra nequitiam et insidious diaboli est presidium, impel ili deus supplices et precamor tuque, princeps militiae celestis, satanam aliosque, spiritus malignos, quia perditionem animarum perogatur in mundo, divina virtute, in inferno de trude. Amen. Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle, be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits that prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In nomine Patris et Filii Spiritus Sancti. Amen. We just prayed. We just invoked the angels, and we're projecting prayers out there, and our prayers are being carried to heaven, it's also driving back the enemy.
Right.
So a couple of things we could say about the Sacred Heart devotion today, Anita.
Well, today
we just came from Holy Mass, by the way.
Yes, we did. We did. The tenth promise says, "I will bless every place in which my image and my heart." I'm sorry, that's the wrong one. That's the ninth. I'm reading September's. Okay, October's the 10th promise. I will give to priests the gift of touching the most hardened hearts.
Powerful.
That is powerful.
Because the priest needs that, because he's dealing with all kinds of unconverted people and people that are impenitent and people that even go to Mass that are saying, I'm pro-abortion, so what? Priests are dealing with a lot of hardened hearts. They can use this devotion to augment their priestly ministry. Also, another thing I want to say about the Sacred Heart devotion. This is a devotion. Again, our Lord appeared to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque in the 17th century, and gave her this devotion. This devotion is also used by exorcists, by the way. Yep. The oldest exorcist in the country, Monsignor John Essef, he uses a Sacred Heart home enthronement to drive out demons from people's houses. In fact, you can go on YouTube and type in specifically exorcist uses Sacred Heart home enthronement to drive out demons from houses. There's 14 videos. You can watch them. Monsignor Essef explains the theology of how this devotion drives out the diabolical from the house. There's also another article there. It's from EWTN. It's called Family Home Enthronement Ritual Prayers Led by a Priest or the Father of the House. Did you catch that? What have I been saying for months now? Okay. Telling you that the demon yields to patriarchy, fathers. There's an article from EWTN. It says, you want to bless your house and drive out demons? Get a Catholic priest or the father of the house. Again, demons yield to patriarchal fatherhood based on natural law or based on divine positive law to a Catholic priest. So I'm just referring you to some of these articles. And there's one more I'll mention. It's put out by Dave Armstrong, who's a Catholic apologist. It's on the National Catholic Register. It's called An Exorcist Encounters the Power of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. An Exorcist Encounters the Power of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. This is one of the great weapons that we have, Anita. We've had this
yes.
image ever since we've been married from day one, following us from one house to another.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, Jesus, he promises to give us the power to touch the most hardened hearts. Even us as a, I know this is the month for the priests, but we are, you know, we are, I want to say little priests.
Yeah, the catechism, priests, prophets, and kings.
We are.
Yeah,
so
we're small.
We too, yeah. We can touch the hardened hearts in our families, our friends, our neighbors through prayer and through the prayer of and devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Because remember, we're to instruct the ignorant, counsel the doubtful, and admonish the sinners. That is so important. You lovers in Christ out there, that's what we're called to do. So just remember, don't forget your mission. No matter what's going out there, is our mission is to get people close to Christ and just get them on fire and just turn their backs to sin and turn them to Christ.
Also, let me remind you, today's Friday. Today's the day of penance. And today's a good day to fast, maybe pray some extra rosaries, pray some extra prayers today, especially for the president and his wife, the POTUS and the FLOTUS, who we just found out have been diagnosed or tested positive for the virus.
And we want to pour blessings on them,
yes,
by praying them, because there's people that are wishing ill of them. So that those are curses.
Yeah.
They are putting curses on them, and it's up the ante because of this this new breaking news. But you know what? Our faith is in Christ, and he's the physician of the sick. And you know, I believe that our Lord is wonderful and is going to heal them.
And let's remember also that prayers are more powerful than curses. You got
absolutely
Satanists and witches that are cursing the president and his wife. We got that. It's all over the internet.
Yeah.
Our prayers of protection are more powerful than curses. And by the way, if any Satanists or witches are out there, they don't realize that the Bible teaches that when you curse somebody, that curse comes back to you.
Yeah, it's a reciprocal effect.
Yeah, God is going to allow the effects of those curses to come back to you. It may take effect of the person's immortal sin, and by God's providence, but it comes back to the person that's cursing. That's scripture. And so this is why you see a lot of Satanists and people involved in witchcraft. They're in despair. They have no hope. They're depressed.
Yeah.
They're always on drugs because the curses come back to them.
Yeah, and that's why we always have to pray prayers of protection for ourselves. And we also we also, on the other hand, pray for a conversion of those sinners. We need to pray for their conversion. So you know, they can, you know, if someday they turn to God and away from their sin, they can do mighty work.
Amen.
For him.
Let me quote to you St. Francis de Sales. This is in today's Magnificat. He's a doctor of the church. He says, one of the most consoling truths of our faith is that God's providence does not only govern the cosmos from afar. He shows an intimate concern for the welfare of each person. A touching sign of this is that God gives us angels to serve as protectors and guides throughout our life. Our guardian angel's mission is to conduct us safely through the perils of our earthly life into the joys of eternal life, so we can be assured of their powerful help in all things when we seek to win the joys of heaven. Especially love and revere the guardian angel of the diocese in which you live. Those of the friends who surround you and your own. Commune with them frequently, join in their songs of praise, and seek their protection and help in all you do, spiritual or temporal. Well, I'm going to pray right now for the president's guardian angel and his wife. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear guardian angel, can you speak to President Trump and his wife's guardian angel? And can you have their guardian angels light them, guard them, rule them, and guide them, and bring them full healing in Jesus' name? Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
So now I guess we're going into the feast day of the guardian angels. And let's just a little history on the feast of the guardian angels, how that came to be.
We're probably going to have to do it in the next segment
okay.
as well.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Fine. Continue.
Yes.
Then we'll just...
Okay, we'll continue. So on October 2nd, Paul
the... I hear the
here
music.
We go. Here comes Our Lady.
And by the way, she's been invoked for these elections. Pray for us. Pray for the president. Pray for his wife. Ora pro nobis. Ruega por nosotros. We'll be right back. We'll continue on the Feast of the Guardian Angels. Pray for us.
Genesis 1:27 says, God created man in his own image. Male and female he created them. According to Pope St. John the 23rd, it is not true that some human beings are by nature superior and others inferior. All human beings are equal in their natural dignity. May God help us to look upon everyone as a person created in his image and likeness, and treat everyone the same without favoritism or prejudice.
Tummy.
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Your beauty and your grace are the bright little dawn. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us.
Jesus 911, Friday's show, Sacrament of Matrimony in Action. The family that prays together stays together. We're called to be great saints. Don't miss the opportunity. So it's the feast day of the guardian angels. What can you tell us,
welcome back, lovers of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Hey, so here we have the feast of day of the guardian angel. Okay, so let's find out, you know, how did this feast day come about? Well, Pope Paul V was the first pope in 1608 to authorize a feast day in honor of the guardian angels. Then Pope Clement X changed the date to the 2nd of October, and Leo XIII in 1883 upgraded the date to a double major feast. So that's why we have the guardian angels. And as you all know, what is the definition of a guardian angel? What is an angel? It's a messenger. And the guardian angels are the last hierarchy. You know, you have the hierarchy.
The nine choirs, right?
The nine choirs of angels.
They're number one.
And the nine choirs of angels. So the angels are, the guardian angels are the last. They're in the hierarchy. So there's three guardian angels that are named in Scripture. But before I name those, a lot of you know about that. There's the first guardian angel The first angels that appeared or that was known in Scripture was during the Exodus, when protecting the Israelites coming from Egypt into the Promised Land. That's when we had you can read about the guardian the angel protecting
In fact, let me read the Magnificat says today. In fact, it said that.
Yeah, it did it say says, that. Yes.
Today on the Magnificat, it says, the first guardian angel to appear in Scripture is the angel of the Lord who protects the Israelites from all danger on their exodus from Egypt. Let us continue to take courage in God's protective
love.
Protective love made manifest in the guardian angels as we set out on the daily journey of life.
Yeah, so, you know, today when you read your daily readings, you can find all this wonderful, beautiful teachings on the feast days. So I wanted to mention one thing. Michael the Archangel, Gabriel the Archangel, and Raphael the Guardian Angel, each of them have a definition what their name means. Michael is who is like God. Gabriel, God's strength or power of God. Raphael, God heals. And as a matter of fact, that's Tobit. He healed Tobit with fishes of gold. So that's one of the reasons why that's one of his titles, a healer. But I want to mention something. All of you, I don't know if you've noticed, each of their names end with E-L. E-L.
Michael. Gabriel. Raphael.
Well, El is, El is God in Hebrew. So there you go. So that's why
Mikael, Gabriel, Raphael
means God. So that's something that I would take for granted. What are the root words of names? And this is something that we could always remember, that when we're asking for their intercession, they have, their name is God.
Their name invokes God, really.
Invokes God.
You can see that because
that's
they're messengers.
What I wanted to say. Right, exactly.
They're messengers of God. So within their name is built in that they work for God.
Mm-hmm.
That's their main. Their name tells you that they work for God because it ends with E-L. Now, you've all heard me say, because you've heard, this is something from Father Ripperger's teachings and from Liber Christo. And by the way, I just want to say that Kyle and Dan are busy right now back teaching back in college, back in university. So they're going to probably be a temporary hiatus with both of them because they're back once again doing their main source of the main thing that they do. They're teachers, they're instructors. So, as soon as they're done with their commitment for the semester, they they're welcome to come back if they'd like. But you've heard a saying that Kyle and Dr. Dan Schneider and Father Ripperger, all these guys that are involved at high level spiritual warfare, they say, angels come wherever they are called. Demons come wherever they're not resisted. Let me show you the verses that show you how angels come when they're called. Then my wife will show you the verses, the way you have to resist demons. You have to resist them. But I'll go through the first ones. Here's a couple of Bible verses directly about angels that we know about. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14. It says this about the ministry of angels. It says this, quote, "Are they," reference to angels, "not all ministering spirits sent forth to serve?" So the Bible says they're sent forth. To who? The Bible says, for the sake of those who are to obtain salvation. Who's that? The baptized. That's us. So God sends them forth for whose sake? Our sake, the baptized. How does God send them forth? Matthew 7:7. Ask and you shall receive. So when you ask God in prayer, God sends them forth to you. Psalm 34:7.
Can I add sure. something to that? I read Cardinal John Donnelly in the book, The Angels and Their Mission. He said, when Jesus becomes flesh, the angels rejoiced that he has become the way for every human being to the Father. But before Jesus, the angels understood that they could not lead the people to God. Mm. They themselves could not lead us to God without the incarnation. That's what this is saying. So before Christ, it was difficult or impossible at this point. And why? Well, when they do become visible to us as humans, their effect is startling. I mean, just imagine an angel appearing to you. You know how we would probably die, because it's like, what is this? He said, we human beings are not just spiritual, but carnal. So pure spirits tend to frighten rather than attract us. So that is the reason why, God became man. Because we needed somebody that was like us to go to him, the Father in heaven. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
That's from Cardinal John
Daniel Liu.
And the book is The Angels and Their Mission. That's where we get that information from.
The incarnation bridges a gap between heaven and earth. God is pure spirit. Man, we're material. Jesus, the Son of God, the second person, became the God-man. So the cross is the bridge between the material world and the immaterial world, heaven, because Jesus is 100% God and 100% man at the same time. So we talk about angels go where they are called, demons come where they're not resisted. Here's another Bible verse that shows up the fact angels go where they're called. Psalm 34:7, it says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Notice, the angels of God encamp around those who fear them. So when you have what's called filial piety, which is a sub-virtue, and how do you have filial piety? When you enter into prayer, you're showing filial piety. The Bible says angels now encamp around you. See the way they're called when you start praying? And what's Psalm 91:11 say, Anita?
It says, for he will give his angels charge of you to guard you in all your ways.
So when does God give angels charge of you to guard you in all your ways? Matthew 7:7. Okay. Remember, angels serve us. They're the followers of Christ. They surround us, as the Bible said. They guard us and deliver us from evil as well. However, what's the principle to all of this? You must call upon their help. Matthew 7:7. And they come. Why? Because that's their ministry. Hebrews 1:14. That's what they do. They're called to help you. But you got to call them. And how do you call them? It's anytime you pray, the angels are called, because one of the roles of an angel is to take your prayers to heaven. Okay, Anita. Yeah. Now the second part here that we hear Father Ripperger and others that are talking about spiritual warfare at a high level. They say demons come whenever they're not resisted. Can that be backed up by scripture? Demons come wherever they're not resisted.
Yeah, absolutely. In 1 Peter 5, chapter 5, verse 8-9, it says, be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him.
Bingo.
Resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same experience a suffering is required of your brotherhood throughout the world.
Here's an important
sober, watchful, resist. Those three things.
Those three verbs just right there.
Those are our action. It's an action that we need to
take. And you can do it. People say, I can't
I can't be sober. I can't be vigilant of my behavior. I can't resist the devil.
Lies. You bought into
that?
A lie.
The accuser's telling you that. That's accusation from the demonic. You can't. You can't. You do. You don't. You can't be watchful. You can't be sober. You can't resist them. You're weak.
That yeah. You're buying into a lie because the Bible says one of many verses, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I can means I can resist the devil. St. Peter says to resist the devil. And St. Paul says you can. You can resist the devil. So don't ever fall into this trap saying, I'm not strong enough. My will is just, you know, handcuffed. No, it isn't.
We have so many tools of prayer to protect us. It's
sacramental. Sacraments.
It's called perseverance.
Yep. Is there another verse that that demonstrates that we can resist the devil?
Yeah, absolutely. James chapter 4, verse 67. It says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Pretty clear.
Resist.
Pretty clear.
And how do you resist? Through prayer.
I think here's three verbs what Anita just shared right now that you have to watch out for. Number one, pride. Mm-hmm. Pride calls the devil, calls demons.
One of the seven deadly sins.
Yep. So how do you fight pride? Humility. The Blessed Virgin Mary is the icon of humility. St. John Vianney was told by the devil, if I could find three priests like you, my kingdom would be over. Why? Because St. John Vianney entered into a life of just servanthood and humility. So if you resist being proud, if you ask God for the grace of humility, now you have the power to what?
Resist
the devil. So don't be saying, oh, no, I can't. This is too hard. I can't resist them. Again, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, there's another verse, Anita, in the book of Genesis that talks about the way the devil, he acts like a tiger or a lion. He sets a trap to go after us.
Yeah, it says, we're talking about Cain here, Cain and Abel.
Up.
We will continue.
Here she comes.
Our next segment.
Blessed Virgin Mary, pray for us. Pray for POTUS and FLOTUS. Pray for our church. Pray for our bishops. Pray for the Pope. Pray for our conversion. Pray for holiness. Pray for the eradication of socialism. We'll be right back.
Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you.
If you shop on Amazon.com, there's an easy way to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Just visit smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center under the desired charity. Now, when you log into your Amazon account and purchase products, a portion of it will automatically go to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio at no cost to you. Thanks in advance for supporting CRC and VMPR, and may God richly bless you and your family.
Mm-hmm.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Nuestra Señora de Guadalupe, ruega por nosotros. Ora pro nobis. Virgo potens, ora pro nobis. Jess and Anita, or I was going to say Tobias and Sarah.
Welcome back.
Catholic Spiritual Warfare Fridays. That's what we do. Yep. Catholic, basic Catholic spiritual warfare. Yep. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. This is just brass tacks, basic spiritual warfare for Catholics, Anita, what we're trying to do.
Right, right. I want to mention something. I know Jess mentioned POTUS and FLOTUS. For those that don't know, it's the President of the United States and the First Lady of the United States. Just so you know those acronyms, that's what that means.
Somebody had a good question on the chat. They asked...
Yeah.
They made a statement, which is a true statement,
yeah,
by the way.
Statement. Michelle Therese said,
High Information Catholic. What did she write?
She wrote, in the Bible, don't people tend to fall on their faces when an angel arrives?
In fact, she's absolutely true. Every single instance in the Bible, except for the Blessed Virgin Mary, except when an angel appears to somebody in the Bible, they don't look like chubby little babies, okay? They look like ominous gladiator warriors. They look like giants. People fall down on their face in the presence of an angel or in the presence of God. And angels, in fact, are confused. People think, is this God? They fall on their face in fear. The only person that we see in biblical, in salvation history, that absolutely did not fall on her face was the Blessed Virgin Mary. There may be a few other instances.
Maybe because she was immaculate. You know, she's without original
sin. That's exactly what it is.
That's what it is. We are
sinners. We're sinners.
So that's why we can't see. I mean, we can't
behold that,
behold
that type of
actually
holiness.
That holiness.
She
because
could.
Because of our sin.
She was having
original
a sin.
She did not have an original sin.
She was having a conversation
absolutely
with an archangel.
Yeah.
Most of us would have been, again, they would have had to call 911.
Absolutely. And cardiac arrest.
Cardiac arrest. Anita, before we go on to the next topic about spiritual warfare principles, there's one more verse that talks about the theology of temptation. If you can share that with the audience. And
yes.
Yeah.
Okay, this is Genesis chapter 4, verse 6. It says, the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it.
So what's going on here? Cain was the first murderer. He killed his brother Abel. God sees that he's angry. And look at God.
One of the deadly sins, anger.
Anger, one of the seven deadly sins. Proverbs 6:16.
Yep.
And he's also seen here, look at the way God describes sin. He says, sin is crouching at the door. That's commentaries say that's like a lion crouching or a tiger ready to pounce upon a prey. Because this and where does temptation come from? Demons. Father Gabriel Amorth says the ordinary activity of a demon is ordinary temptation. So here's the theology here. The demon is crouching at the door like a lion or like a tiger. What's the demon's desire? The Bible tells you. It's for you. You're the target of the demon's temptation.
Yeah. Its desire is for you. That's strong. That's a strong word. Desire.
But here's the good news in this verse. God tells Cain, he says, you can master it. You must master it. In other words, God is not going to ask you to do something that he's not going to give you the strength to accomplish. So Cain can't say, oh, this demon temptation was so strong I had to kill my brother. Wrong. He could have mastered it. He just consented to the temptation. And so right now, I don't know, He's probably in a very hot place right now. I'm just saying.
Well, isn't this wonderful the way God, the scripture verses, just here's the problem. This is what's happening. Now here's the solution. This is what you can do. There's the coaching, the coach aspect. This, you have this problem. You can't do a head and arm. And for example, wrestling, right. This is how you can accomplish it.
And again, it goes all back to Philippians 4:13.
Right.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So don't think about for a second that I can't. That's exactly what the devil wants you to believe. I can't. Let me share one more reflection from St. Alphonsus of Liguori before we move on to the next topic.
Yep.
Renita, can you share it?
Yeah.
Doctor of the Church, by the way, moral theologian. Look at what he wrote in 1787.
Yeah, he was a bishop who founded the Redemptorists. He's the doctor of a church. I think you just mentioned that. Sorry about that. So here we go. He says, so it is with Christians who face death. The devil will come to tempt them, but their guardian angels will come to strengthen them. Their patron saints and protectors will come also, as well as Saint Michael, the archangel, whom God has appointed as the defender of his faithful servants at the time of their death. The Blessed Virgin Mary will also come to protect her children, who so often prayed to her for help, now and at the hour of our death. Saint Alphonsus Liguori in 1787.
What an amazing thought, because we're all going to die. 100% of us are going to die.
Absolutely.
And this doctor of the church just says, if you're a person of faith, obviously, and you're in a state of grace, what happens? Who comes to your aid? The Blessed Virgin Mary to your bedside. Saint Michael and your guardian angel. And
wow.
he even says, and your patron saints.
Right.
You have an army around your bed as you're dying if you're in a right relationship with God. How amazing is that?
Well, that's amazing. And that's why it's so important that we as Catholics, we persevere. It's constancy in prayer. That's why they'll defend you. If you are living and giving yourself and your day to our Lord, our Lady, and Saint Joseph. And your guardian angel.
Yeah, that's why consecration prayers in the morning are very important, because, again, you're dealing with the night before, the day before. The church fathers call them morning demons. You wake up in the morning, you're thinking about all the problems yesterday, the day before, last week. Man, your neck hurts. You're saying, oh. Those are called morning demons. Church fathers call them morning demons. So you start your morning with the sign of the cross and say, for example, a consecration prayer to Jesus, the morning offering, a consecration prayer to Mary. You know what you're doing?
And that's where in your book you have all the morning prayers. If you have Jesse's book, Lord, Prepare My Hands for Battle, that's where we have all those morning prayers that you just get up and pray those prayers. It includes Saint Michael the Archangel, Anima Christi, all these prayers. And
they're consecration prayers to give your whole day to Jesus and Mary.
Yeah, spiritual communion prayers. How many of you are actually doing spiritual communion prayers? That prayer is because every day we want to receive Jesus in Holy Mass, but we're unable to because of our work schedule, or something comes up, we're ill, or we just can't make it to daily Mass outside of our Sunday obligation, which we should always go. But that's something you want to always just bring Jesus to your heart. That's who we are. They say, do you ask Jesus into your heart? Absolutely. You Catholics need to say, absolutely. I do bring Jesus in my heart because I do the spiritual communion every day.
And that prayer, you call Jesus into your heart. So I call Jesus into my heart 7 days a week because I do the morning offering it's the spiritual communion with Jesus prayer.
Yeah, and even if you know you're going to Mass, you still say it in the morning because you just don't know. Something might happen on the way.
You could get T-boned on the way to Mass.
Yeah, and you never make it there for some reason.
Yep.
But so it's always just to have that security there.
Let me mention, if you like what you hear, then like us. Hit the subscribe button. This is the Friday show on Jesus 911, Sacrament of Matrimony in Action. Jess and Anita, Tobias and Sarah.
And we love being here with you.
Yes. So you can hit the subscribe button, hit the bell to be notified, and share this show with others. And again, the emphasis of Monday, Wednesday, and Friday is on what I would call educational spiritual warfare. educational spiritual warfare. We will talk about things that are going to help you individually as a Catholic and help you in your marriage to stay protected from the diabolical. So let's move on, Anita, to spiritual warfare principles. I think we want to share 12 of them, right?
Yeah, there's 12 spiritual warfare principles, and they're very simple. It's written by a priest. His name is, gosh, I don't remember his name. Well, it's on our, it's on the website. The link is there.
Yeah.
But anyways, he talks about...
It's good basic stuff.
Good basic. And our first spiritual warfare principle, Christ controls all spiritual warfare. So it says, Jesus approached and said to them, all power in heaven on earth has been given to me.
That's an important thing, a point, because a lot of people, equate Jesus and the devil like
as equal.
There's even a meme out there where they have Jesus, and it's a heretical meme. I know people mean well. They have our Lord Jesus Christ and the devil arm wrestling. Yeah. Heresy.
Yeah,
that's not true. You can't even put the devil and Saint Michael. They're both angels. Arm wrestling, because Saint Michael has shown himself because of God's power through him to dominate Satan. So you can't even have Saint Michael arm wrestling him. The devil is not in God's league for sure.
Yeah,
Our Lady's league.
The supernatural, and then the preternatural. Yeah.
He's not in Saint Michael's league.
Right.
And so that first principle is so important, that God, Christ, controls all spiritual warfare. That's so important. What Anita just said, all power has been given to the Son of God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity.
And there's another scripture verse. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And that's in Matthew 28.
So Jesus Christ is sending all of us with his power to go out and make disciples. For the priest, that means baptize. And the sacraments and instruction for us lay people, it's called to evangelize.
To evangelize, bring people to Christ.
You know,
get them baptized, get their sacraments.
And bring them to Mass, bring them to a life of prayer, bring them to a relationship with God. When you do that, you know what you're doing? You're literally, when you bring somebody who's in mortal sin and you evangelize them and bring them back home to the church, you're ripping them out of the claws of Satan. I hear the music.
Here comes Our Lady.
Here she comes.
La Morenita.
Ora pro nobis, rega por nosotros. We'll be right back.
Love you.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eye to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com, code VMPR, live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Pray for us. Ora pro nobis. Ruega por nosotros. Especially for the POTUS and the FLOTUS.
Yes.
Hey, we're back. Spiritual warfare. Catholic spirit. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays on Jesus 911. Get the word out. We want to give what's called educational spiritual warfare. We want to talk to lay people. 99.9% of the church are lay people. They need to know these basic principles. How to become holy and stay protected from the diabolical, because that's what holiness does.
And how do we used to call it? The hoi polloi.
The rank and file. The Joe six pack in the pew. That's what we want to talk
yes.
to. We're not talking to priests. I have no authority to even teach priests or a bishop. They teach themselves. They get taught by official teaching.
Yes.
We are an educational apostolate to help you, 99.9% of the Catholic Church. And this makes makes the priest's job easier.
Right, absolutely. And believe it or not, you are helping us by listening, because we have to make sure that we're responsible for giving you accurate information on what the church is teaching. So
we want to cross
too,
our...
Yeah, you are too. It's a reciprocal relationship with all of you. But, you know, there's a comment on the chat there from Michelle. Teresa, again, she's making some pretty good comments. All of you are, by the way, it's just that she said, I never realized that spiritual communion calls Jesus into my heart.
Yes. Listen to the words of the prayer. How does it go? My Jesus, I believe that thou art present in the most blessed sacrament. I love thee above all things, and I desire to possess thee within my soul. Since I am not unable now to receive thee sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace thee as being already there, and I unite myself wholly and entirely to thee. Amen. So that's a prayer. I think it was composed in the Middle Ages, I think by St. Alphonsus of Liguria, in fact. And it's a prayer where every morning...
And it's in Jesse's book.
It's in my book. It calls Jesus into your heart. That's one of the basic ways you protect yourself against the devil and demons throughout the day. You invoke Jesus into your heart.
That's one of your morning prayers.
It has to be.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard this for years. Anybody who's ever watched a TV mass at EWTN, they do this every day. If you cannot receive Holy Communion because you're at home or homebound, they'll say, if you can't, okay, then pray this prayer. And then somebody will lead it, usually Mother Angelica's voice.
Yeah, or someone else.
But that's spiritual warfare. Catholic prayers are spiritual warfare. And just to prove it to you, Satanists and witches, they know what spiritual warfare is. You know what they do? It comes out of their mouth. It's curses. It's
hate.
Hexes. It's incantations. It's maledictions. Where does that come from? Their ears? It's their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
They know the weapon that God has given us to do good and to do evil is the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
The book of James chapter 1.
That's their prayer. That's how they pray, as opposed to us. We recite and we ask for intercession from Our Lady, from the saints, and... So they do the opposite through their hate. That's their prayer.
And their power comes from invoking the dark spirits, the devil, the diabolical.
Right. And to remind you,
to project evil into the air.
And then to remind you, Jesse has mentioned it quite a few times. What do? We're shooting buckshot in the air. And we're deflecting their curses. So that's why prayer is so important.
Yep. So, by the way, this article that we're sharing is called 12 Roman Catholic Spiritual Warfare Principles. The author, he's a humble guy. He doesn't even have his name here. But his website is CatholicAce.com. And I've looked at his stuff. Very solid. He's very grounded in Catholic teaching.
And I stand corrected. It wasn't a priest. It was a lay person.
He quotes, but You said that because all he does is quote priests in his article.
Right. And that's, I think that's when I was reading the article.
He quotes Father Chad Ripperger. Absolutely. He quotes Father Mark Gorin.
Paul Thigpen.
Father Don Scopoli, rest in peace, died years ago. Dr. Yeah, so he goes to all the right people. This guy knows who to quote.
Right.
So we're on point number one, that Christ controls all spiritual warfare. And let's remember, don't go around even right now biting your fingers. Oh, no, the president has COVID. FLOTUS. Oh, no, riots. Jesus is in control. In fact, in Psalm chapter 2, there's a psalm that talks about God is in heaven right now. And I'm paraphrasing it. He's looking at those in the earth that are evil, and he's laughing at them. You know why? Because he knows that the day is coming where their heart's going to stop, they're going to breathe their last breath, and they're going to have to answer for everything they said and did before Jesus Christ. That's why he's looking right now at evil people in Psalm 2. He's laughing at them. Read it. It's in Psalm number 2. So let's go back to this first principle, Christ controls all spiritual warfare.
So, yeah, so we ended up on the go forth. So now we continue on. And behold, I am with you always into the end of the age. And that's Matthew 28:18-20. So that's the last sentence that I forgot to deploy. Yeah. So here it is. It says Christ has control over every facet of our spiritual warfare. That's what we've been talking about right now. Even down to the minutia. What is a minutia? What's that word minutia? It's defined as the smallest and finest details of anything. So there you go. He knows everything, the minutia, every cell that we have in our body.
That's why he says that in Matthew 10:30. You know, he puts things in perspective. He tells people. He says,
even the hairs in your head are counted.
Yeah, even all the hairs of your head are counted. That's the detail that God knows us. He says, so do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. God knows even the details. He knows. I'm starting to go bald and stuff. He knows how much hairs I have.
He knows how many follicles you have.
That's how involved he is in our life. So let's pray and trust and vote the right way. Pro-life.
Pro-life. And especially right now, there's so much throwing at us so fast. And every day, it's like you can't keep up with yesterday's news because it's been so. Don't let that get you in despair. Remember, he's in control. Just be faithful to him. Faithful. That's what we need as lovers of Christ. We need to be faithful to him.
That's right. And God is so much in control of all spiritual warfare that the Lord even determines the types of diabolical influences that he allows in our lives. Mm-hmm. And other people don't think that the demons can act, you know, willy-nilly. Read the book of Job chapter 1. We read it during the week during Mass. I think it was or last week. Mm-hmm. Or no, I think of Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah.
Satan, who's basically the CEO of hell, he has to ask God's permission. Can I tempt Job? Mm-hmm. Can I please? Okay, you can tempt them, but you can't kill him. And so even the demons, God determines what he allows them to do. St. Father Pio explained it this way. He said that Christ has the devil on a chain. He's like a wild dog on a chain. And say, let's just throw a metaphor, or say the chain is 10 feet long. So the Lord allows him to roam 10 feet, okay? That's the boundaries. Mm-hmm. All you have to do, St. Father Pio says, stay out of that domain of Satan. Mm-hmm. What would be the domain of Satan? I'll tell you, pornography, sexual perversion, the occult, life of intoxication, alcohol or drugs. Don't hang around with bad people like Chapo Guzman or Antifa or Black Lives Matter. Don't hang out with evil places. Okay? Mm-hmm. So there's several things you can do to stay protected.
Yep. And you know what? A lot of us have weaknesses in our lives, and those are the weaknesses the devil's attacks. You know, the demons attack us at our weaknesses. So because Christ allows that we as Christians, these things happen because we need to become stronger.
Yeah, God allows that.
He allows it so we can become holier. So, for example, I have I'm just saying an example. You have a weak muscle. Well, how are you going to, you know, the only way you know that you have a weak muscle through the pain. So what do? You strengthen it. And that's the same thing we do.
And there's pain involved.
And there's pain involved. It's pain. It's sacrifice. I got to get up. I got to do my prayers. I got to do this. But all else, prayers first, everything second.
Yeah, Anita, Father Ripperger even teaches this. He says that God even allows demonic possession. Get that.
He allows
demonic
it.
Possession
yes.
to make
In
the penitent
yeah.
holy.
Yes.
Did he catch that? God allows even demonic possession for the purpose of making the victim holy.
That's so, revealing.
So,
absolutely.
So God is using like judo against the devil. He yep. takes his attack. That's what judo is. Your opponent rushes you. You use his
weight.
His body weight and his inertia, his energy to flip him, to throw him on his back. That's what the devil does even in demonic possession. He uses to make his children holy. Again, you have to cooperate. And just to show you how much God is in control of all spiritual warfare, in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 6 and 7, what does the Lord tell us, babe?
Okay, the Lord says, I am the Lord, forming the light and creating the darkness, making peace and creating evil.
He's in control of everything. He's in control of every detail in our life, even the diabolical influence that he allows. And that's a comforting thought, because I'll tell you how I would not be comforted if I believed in Eastern thought about God. God is over here. He's good. The devil is his equal. He's bad over here. I'd be walking around every day biting my finger and saying, oh, man, you got two equal opposing forces up there. Which one is going to dominate me today, or which is going to dominate the world today? No, that's heresy. God is supernatural. Angels and demons are preternatural. Humans are natural. God, angels and demons, humans. Supernatural, preternatural, natural. Nobody's like God. The devil and demons exist because God allows them to exist. And their existence depends upon God. And why doesn't God annihilate them? That would be an easy fix. God wants to use them until the end of time to make us saints by giving us the grace to, as my wife quoted, 1 Peter and James chapter 4, to resist them, and this way we grow in holiness. And at the end of time, to annihilate them wouldn't be justice.
Right.
God is going to allow them to be tormented
right.
forever. And that's
right.
justice.
Remember, St. Thomas Aquinas says, evil exists because there's absence of good. So we have to remember that. And because of that, we should know that God is on our side. Our
Amen.
Lady is on our side, interceding for us. And St. Joseph, don't forget about the highest saint next to Our Lady.
Yes.
And remember, the saints are in heaven are judging the We'll be judging those demons.
Oh, yeah, that's scripture. Mm-hmm. Hey, Jesus 9-1, we're done. We're 10-7. We're
with
out.
You today.
We'll see you next week. Up next, Gary Machuda, Hands on Apologetics. Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ, now and forever. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.
We love you, save souls.
Jesus, live in our hearts.
Forever.
Jesus.
I trust in you.
God bless you. Keep the faith. We'll see you next week. Up next, Gary Machuda, Hands on Apologetics. If you like us, hit the subscribe button and share the show with others. God bless you.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.